Olá pessoal, tudo bem? Aqui é Roberto Alvarez, por Startup. A gente está aqui para ter uma conversa com o Julian Gorman. Ele é um dos fundadores, ele é um dos cofundadores do Idea Box, que é uma aceleradora de empresas, um programa de promoção de startups em Mianmar, do outro lado do mundo. O Julian tem uma larga experiência na indústria de telecom e a gente vai conversar um pouquinho como é fazer empreendedorismo, promover startups num ambiente que é um ambiente super novo e desafiador, que é o ambiente de Mianmar. Julian, thank you so much for joining us here for Startupy. In order for us to get started, could you maybe introduce a bit of your experience in telecommunications and entrepreneurship, and tell us, what are you doing there in Myanmar?
Sure. In Myanmar, I'm the director of digital services for Ooredoo Myanmar. Ooredoo is one of two telcos, international telcos, who won a license in Myanmar last year as part of the country opening up prior to our entry, and we still haven't launched. There was only one telco operating in Myanmar, a government telco. Before I came to Myanmar, I've actually been with Ooredoo for 5 years. Ooredoo was rebranded from Qatar Telecom. We rebranded last year. So, and by originally Qatar. In 2007, Qatar Telecom operated in one country, Qatar, as a monopoly. Now operates in or has investments in over 17 countries and has a customer base more than 90 million users, mobile phone users. So, I've been with Ooredoo for 5 years, based out of Singapore. And prior to moving to Myanmar, I was in Indonesia and helped set up Idea Box Indosat, which is Idea Box Indonesia for Ooredoo, amongst some other things. And Idea Box in Indonesia has just started their second incubation cycle. So it's been running for just over 12 months now.
Okay, so I understood then that Idea Box is linked to Telecom Qatar, right?
So Idea Box is Ooredoo's investment in creating a rich and robust startup ecosystem and community in the country, same in Indonesia. It's aligned with the global push for telcos to get involved in the startup ecosystem. Anybody who's involved in startups would know that telcos aren't very good at dealing with startups or engaging with startups, and they tend to struggle. Despite what telcos think about being nimble and technology focused and everything else, I think anyone who's in a startup and has ever tried to deal with a telecom company knows that it's like dealing with slow-moving mud or something or other. It's very hard to get engaged. The native DNA of a telco doesn't actually support startups. But Ooredoo's investment in Idea Box and creation of Idea Box is, I think, unique in the global telecom community. It's not about a big, large program. It's about actually grassroots growing communities and fostering local startups that help build innovation within the telco, but also give them visibility and access to the startup community.
Okay, that's great. We have something similar here in Brazil that Telefonica is pioneering, not just in Brazil, but in Latin America. So they have a series of accelerators, that's the Wyre ecosystem of accelerators all across Latin America. But I imagine and I guess that working in Myanmar poses lots of different challenges. Myanmar used to be a really closed country like 3 years ago, yeah? And so what's happening there? How is it to work towards the development of the entrepreneurship or the startups ecosystem in a place that used to be really a closed country with really limited connections with the West?
Myanmar provides a number of unique opportunities. Internet, even now, basically doesn't exist in Myanmar. About 1% of the population has access to the internet. And actually less than 10% have access to a telephone. So you're talking about 60 million people, more than 50 million people have almost never made a phone call. The ability to come here and have a substantial impact on the country with such small increment, what in the West or a mature market would think is such incremental technology development in Myanmar they're going to leapfrog the whole population all the way past 2G and all the trials and efforts that startups and technology people have gone through for the last 20 years. Myanmar's never going to experience. It's going to go straight to high-speed broadband, wireless broadband across the country. We're going to be covering more than 95% of the population with high-speed broadband within the next couple of years. And that is going to be their first experience of digital technology.
Wow.
There's no SMS. There's no none of the historical legacy stuff. It's smartphones and high-speed broadband from the very beginning.
So you're basically jumping from the 19th century to the 21st century. You are skipping the 20th century.
Completely. One just big step.
Wow.
And it's only a number of weeks away.
Wow, that is exciting. But tell me something, how about the talent pool? In order to build startups, you need people, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that you probably face different challenges in terms of the talent pool. Where are the entrepreneurs coming from in Myanmar?
I mean, it is tough. It's not a very rich country, although the GDP is growing very quickly. The immediate talent is there's a lot of repats or Myanmar people who have gone overseas and coming back to be part of the change, you know, enthusiastic about being part of the change. On top of that, there's internationals who are coming back and being part of the change. So that's probably a pretty strong force and reference point for locals. And basically, I mean, in every economy, even in the 19th century, which Myanmar's economy largely was, there's entrepreneurs. What the difference is, they might not have the skills or be aware of the new methods or new ways of doing things. And so that's the challenge at the moment, is actually bringing their awareness, experience, and visibility up to the 21st century.
Okay.
So let them understand what is around the corner. I mean, it's very hard for somebody who's never made a phone call but might be entrepreneurial to understand what they're going to be able to achieve in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, and are you training people, both, let's say, in business skills or technical skills, coding, whatever? Do you provide training?
So in IdeaBox, we have a number of different streams. So we have two major streams, community, which is around community and ecosystem building, and then we have an incubator accelerator. The incubator accelerator has just closed first application, where surprisingly we've received more than 80 applications for our incubator, and we shortlisted 10 the other day, had a workshop with them, and we're going to cut down to a number less than that. But in the community program, we have a few streams, one called Tech at IdeaBox and one is Biz at IdeaBox. Tech is around short seminars around tech skills, so design skills. We have partners of Microsoft, Amazon, Oracle, so passing on tech skills that those companies provide. Whereas Biz at IdeaBox is about more around running a commercial startup, so things around IP or legal issues, setting up companies, commercial skills, things like that. So we run those programs regularly as well. On top of that, you know, we have a series of activities, hackathons, boot camps, various different seminars and activities, which allow the community to engage in a culturally sensitive and a way for them to test and drive stuff without being challenged too much and to discourage them from joining. I mean, culturally, there's a number of things we need to overcome in that the Myanmar culture by nature is not about standing up and leading. It's more about participating in a social environment. And so a lot of the young people are a bit uncomfortable if you invite them to an activity where they know they're going to have to stand up and speak in front of people. So we've learned that through holding various programs. And so now we offer a more softer entry into an event. And then we find that once they're in the event and they start to feel comfortable, they're happy to stand up. So, by example, at a hackathon, and we held in partnership with Internews in March, the first ever hackathon in Myanmar, is at the start of the event on the Friday night, you couldn't get anybody to stand up and speak. But by the end of the event, you couldn't get anybody to not stand up and speak.
that is fast learning, really fast learning.
It is. And the great thing about the hackathon is, you know, we weren't sure what we're going to get. At the end of the day, we ended up with a hackathon where, I mean, we had participants and supporters and mentors from all around the world. And there was nobody who said it wasn't as good or better than than they'd seen in any other country. So despite expectations that there wouldn't be the talent, there wouldn't be the capability. And to be honest, before the event, some of us in the organizing committee were a bit worried that, at best we'd end up with a few PowerPoints. But what we ended up with was working commercial quality websites, apps ready to go to Android and iOS app stores. It was an amazing outcome.
Well, back to this cultural issue, how does it compare to the situation in other, let's say, Southeastern Asian countries?
I think the other countries have already seen champions created and winners, and so it's provided an aspirational target.
Okay.
Myanmar still doesn't have that sort of target. I was working in Jakarta before, and in Indonesia, if you talk to the people who've been in the startup community, it really started to polarize and accelerate when one of the local startups sold to Yahoo, because then that became the champion story that everybody knew.
Okay,
Up
okay.
until that point, everyone's sort of working a startup, but everyone's working in different directions. But when you hear somebody sold to Yahoo, it becomes a very real and tangible that that is something I can achieve as well.
Okay.
And you start to get people to do that. Myanmar doesn't have a champion yet.
Okay. And tell me something. You said that you got 80 applications for your acceleration or incubation process. Yeah. Two questions here. How does it work, the process itself? Is that more incubation? Is that more like acceleration? Or how does it look like? And the second question is, what kind of applications did you get? You selected 10. What kind of things people are building? What kind of companies are being built?
Of the applications, we sort of go through two considerations. The first, that the applications are reviewed from an accelerator point of view.
Okay.
We're going to take them in, we invest some cash in them, or give them some cash to keep running, and we've and aim of an accelerator program on the Eridu network. So, we'll have millions of customers by the time that the program finishes, and we'll be able to accelerate them to a sizable scale. But a secondary review is where we go through and we look for good talent and maybe good ideas or the genesis of some good ideas and marry that together into an incubation type of arrangement to run in the same time. So on the face of it, the aim is, if we've got enough companies to accelerate, we would just accelerate. But we're also open to the idea of just finding talent and finding good ideas and even taking ideas is from some of the activities we've done, like hackathons and things like that, and incubating them. And how the program will work is we have some partners from Australia and Singapore who run incubators and support companies run incubators, including Pollinizer from Australia. We've designed a program which includes, regular training seminars, check-ins, a weekly cadence around the activities they'll do. Ultimately leading to a more, a traditional sort of graduation event where you're pitching to investors.
Okay, is it, let's say, a traditional 3 months acceleration process? Is it longer, shorter?
I'd say we'd probably run a little bit longer. We're probably looking about 4 to 5 months
Okay.
with graduation. So intake starting in August and graduation probably around January next year.
Okay.
And then when it comes to the applications we got, they were diverse, travel, some business-to-business applications, a couple of consumer things, and this is the shortlisted, and even education, games, and apps and stuff. The one thing I would say is, Myanmar is complete greenfields. The things that you would find in any other market, startups, the popular apps, they don't exist here yet. So I'd say the one thing is, there's a little less of, I would have expected more of the apps and things that you find as dominant in the consumer space in another market coming up. But the ecosystem here is still evolving. So there's still no real payment mechanism. And there's a few other factors missing, which mean that the entrepreneurs in this space tend to be focused on business to business rather than consumer, because that's where they've seen the cash in the past. Part of our program is to encourage and to attract more investment into the system and to make provide payment mechanisms so that cash can start to flow in a more traditional sort of startup ecosystem, which will then polarize startups to start to focus more on consumer apps.
Okay. You said that you have chosen already the 10 startups that, or the 10 projects that will take part in the process, right?
Well, that's the 10 shortlist. So
okay.
We had it today, and then we're reducing that down.
Okay. Do you have a target in terms of the number of projects to be taken?
We expected to be able to take maybe 4 to 6, somewhere in that sort of space. We'll finalize our decision by this week. By comparison with Indonesia, where the startup market industry is far more mature. Still a long way from some, obviously places like Silicon Valley, but they took in 120 applications and took 5. So that's where we were thinking 4 to 6. And at the moment, we're thinking even if we don't take 4 to 6 to accelerate, maybe we take 2 or 3 or something or other. We'll use the additional space to incubate.
Okay. And in your perspective, which are the areas in, let's say, in the Myanmar society or in the Myanmar economy that will be mostly transformed by technology in the years to come?
In the immediate future, education is going to be a massive impact. Education system while the country was closed was decimated pretty well. It had a lot of challenges, probably a better way to say it. Universities in the last 20 years, as various things have happened where universities have opened, closed, or been controlled, and there's been a lot of censorship of the media and the internet. So there's a real lack of access to information and learning about the rest of the world and even about their own country, I think. So I think education will transform rapidly. And because you're taking an education system that's still, 19th century, and there's a lot of people interested in accelerating that to modern standards. So that will change dramatically. And regular consumer life is going to change. Here, you don't even call taxis. You stand on the street and hope a taxi drives past, things like that. So all the, grab taxis and those sort of things that are happening around the world, are going to come here and transform life overnight. And on top of that, I'd say e-commerce. This is a country where international brands don't exist and electronic transactions don't exist yet, really.
Okay.
Overnight, it's going to be everything goes.
Okay. Do you see any opportunities for entrepreneurs to go to Myanmar from anywhere around the globe, from Latin America, for instance?
I think there's a fantastic opportunity for international entrepreneurs. Obviously, in a country like Myanmar, there's a tendency for people to go, we should leave it all for the locals to build. But that will take time. This is a greenfields operation. Everyone knows Rocket Internet. They're big in South America as well. Rocket Internet has been here for 18 months, and they've got a standard playbook. The country is open. IdeaBox welcomes international entrepreneurs to come in and be part of our program, to be part of our community. And I think there is some barriers for international entrepreneurs. It's not easy to set up companies. It's not easy to land and find out the information that's required to get your business running. But that's part of the IdeaBox program, is to reduce the barriers for international entrepreneurs to come here. And I think overall the benefit to the country is for, a strong force of international entrepreneurs to land here, because the community will strengthen by people or effectively importing expertise and experience and ideas. It would just accelerate the local community. There will be some people who will resist that because they think that's, a competitive challenge. But I think, anybody who's been in building communities for startups will know that it's actually creating the community actually makes it stronger. Building the community and sharing ideas and sharing expertise makes the community stronger.
Well, That's great. Just a final question, Gillian. How big is the investment that Ooredoo is doing in Myanmar? In total, let's say broadband, everything.
Ooredoo sort of estimates its investment in the next couple of years, $3.3 billion.
Okay.
The estimated impact on the economy is in the range of $15 to $16 billion on the GDP. I mean, this is a country that only has a GDP in the $50 to $60 billion range.
Okay.
So our own investment is going to have a material percentage difference on the GDP over the next couple of years. So it's the economy here is growing rapidly. They're talking about 6 or 7%. I mean, it's one of the fastest growing economies in Asia and the world. So there is a lot of foreign investment coming into the country, and there's an enthusiasm and excitement in the local economy about what can happen now.
Okay. So, Julien, thank you so much for your time and your attention, and good luck. Yeah, and have a good night.
Thanks. And anyone from Brazil or over that way wants to come this way, feel free to give us a call and we'll help you land.
Okay. Do you have a website for IdeaBox?
Yes, ideabox.com.mm.
Okay.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.ideaboxmyanmar.
Okay, that's great. So thank you so much, Julien. Once again, all the best. Good luck. And have a good night. Yep.
Thanks for that. Good luck in the World Cup.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. You're from the UK, right?
No, I'm Australian, so we dropped out about last night, didn't we? Or the night before.
Okay. So you have another, if you are willing, you are open to that, you have another team with a yellow jersey to cheer for.
Certainly. Yeah, I've got my Brazil jersey.
Okay, great. Julien, thank you so much. Yep.
No problem. Thanks, Roberto.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.